Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for the opportunity that we have to have a conversation with you and learn from you the things that you have in store for us. Our lives are not the way we would like it to be. Things that happen in our lives are not always easy. But your word this morning will challenge us to learn from it. And we ask you that you will guide us and help us, Lord, to learn how to be content wherever our circumstances are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are we content? Are we satisfied with what we have, or we strive to get more? Everybody in their everybody strive to get a little bit more for what they have, and especially when we talk about family, the interaction as the group of people that we live together. We want to get a little bit more ahead. We want to get something else from what we have, and especially when we're looking around. Probably the yard of my neighbor is greener than mine. Probably their kids are better behaved than mine. Oh, his wife is purer than my wife, so I like that too. Or the husband is handsomer than mine. And so we look at things around us and we compare. And when we look at that, most of the time we're not content to what we see that's ours. Paul here is teaching the Philippians, there's some things that we have to understand in life. And one thing I learned through my life, that life is not fair. But who said it has to be? This is, as believers, as Christians, this is not the final stage in our lives. This is we're passing through. And because we're passing through, we can look at things that look difficult, and we know what's better, a lot better, that's coming for us down the road. Do you have enough money? You can answer.
No.
No? Would you like some more? Can you handle some more? Would you like to be a millionaire? You really don't know what you're asking for. I always tell people, I'm not a millionaire. I work, I have my own company. I handle a lot of millions, but never, they were not all mine. They were passing through money. See them today and buy tomorrow. But I know for a fact that God do not want me, at least for now, I haven't learned enough, to be content with what I have in order for him to give me more. And if I'm going to be a millionaire today, I will be messed up. So to begin with, I mean, if I don't know how to tie for $10 and I give my 10%, which is what? $1. And then when I have $100, I need to tie, and the tie for $100 what? $10, and then $1,000 is $100. Are you ready to give away from $1 million? Hello? Are we still here? Things change a little bit more, right? And that's why most of the time when we are in this life, we get a lot of things that God has given us the privilege to have. We have to learn to live, and the secret to be content. And I will show you guys today four things that we have to learn in order for us to be content in our lives. Verse 8 is the first one that says that we have to learn to dwell on things that are positive. Learn to enjoy the things that are possible. That's why it says whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, correct, whatever is pure, lovely. If anything of excellent or of praiseworthy, think about such things. Sometimes we dwell so much on the negative, the things that we do not have, and we miss the opportunity of the great things that God has given us, because sometimes it's a process of building to get where we want to be or where He wants us to be. But we are so concerned with the things that we don't have, and we're not enjoying the things that we have right now. Do you have life? Your life, right? I'm guessing everybody here is well and alive. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here this morning. Have you thanked God for that this morning? God, thank you, because I don't really deserve this, but I'm alive. Pastor is struggling with coughing, but he is alive. Right, Pastor? And he thanks God that I'm preaching this weekend, because he got a weekend off. Okay? We know you're sick, Pastor. You don't need to. So, we need to enjoy what we have right now. Do you have a family? Do you like them? No? But that's the only one you have. And it's okay. And that's why it's very important for us to understand that those things that we have right now are all that we need and all that we can enjoy. Enjoy it. Oh, you want your kids to grow up. You don't want that to happen right now. You're not ready for that. Enjoy where they are right now. I want my husband to get more money and bring more money home. That's right, but he doesn't have it yet. Enjoy what you have. Live within your means. We have to learn to dwell, to enjoy the things that's positive that we have right now. The second thing that we have to see, and this is in verse 9, is we have to learn to put these things in practice, those things that we know. We have to practice those. That's why it says, whatever you have learned and received and heard from me, Paul says, or seen in me, put those things into practice. And then God of peace will be with you in that process. There's a lot of people of influence in our lives. People that God has allowed to be in our lives to make our lives better or richer in some sense. Have some people has influenced you? Do you remember the one that presented you the gospel, the word of God? Have you thanked that person lately? I remember young man, I was 17 years old, and this guy I go to see. We're kind of like family, but we're not. And so I was spending a lot of time with his sisters, and we go and spend hours talking with each other. And he would come every time with his Bible, This is a big Bible, so he had a bigger one than this one. He always had his Bible with him, always. Every time we see him, he has his Bible with him. And he's telling me, Randolph, you have to learn from God. You have to learn from the Bible. Do you want to go to church with me? I said, no, I'm too busy. I don't like those things. And then one time after years of begging me, and I decided, okay, let me go with you. I went to church with him. That first day I went to church, I sat there all the way in the back. The pastor preached, and I was touched. That's what I needed. I didn't come forward because I was scared, so I didn't do that. Next week, around Wednesday, I asked him, do you have church this weekend? He said, yes. Do you want to come? I said, no, just checking. But actually, I was ready. On Saturday, I asked him, do you go to church? He said, yes, I'm going to church every weekend. Do you want to go with me? I said, no. Sunday morning, I know what time he goes to church, so I'll show up earlier at his house, asking, begging. I don't want to tell him I'm going to church, but let him ask me. Do you think he asked me? Of course he asked me. He said, hey, Randolph, you're here at my house. Do you want to go to church with me? I said, okay, let me go with you. I was ready. I didn't know what the preachers preached that day, but I came forward and I accepted Christ as my Savior. My life changed since then. One man that made my life miserable when I didn't know the Lord, that because of that, my life now is wonderful. Just because the Word of God, what God has done in our life, in my life. What you learn from other people, what you learn from the Word of God, the time that you invest with other people, walking with them, people that God has put in your life, that you look at them, that you can look up to or look down to, depend the size of the person. But the idea is looking up anyway, okay? But someone that you admire, that God has allowed to come into your life, or maybe marriage that you see, people, couple, families that you say, man, I wish my family is like that, and I want to learn from them. Paul says, whatever you learn, you receive, you heard from me, or seen in me, put those into practice. Whatever you learn from the Word of God, whatever people have teach you with words or with action, let those things, put those things into practice in your own life. Oh, I love to be like that godly woman that pray a lot. What do you think you have to start doing? Pray. That's the only way. Wishing to be there won't get you there. Yesterday I got a Facebook message from a friend of mine. This actually was the first couple I had the privilege to marry. And he said this, hey Randolph, I thought of you when I read this. And it says, a real man is a kind of man that when your feet hit the floor in the morning, the devil will say, oh crap, he is awake. Brother, life is too short to wake up with regrets. So love the people who treat you right. Forgive those that didn't do good to you. Believe everything that happened will happen for a reason. If you get a second chance, grab it and work hard on it. If it changed your life, if it will change your life, let it be. Take a few minutes to think before you act. and forgive quickly. God never said life will be easy. He just promised it will be worth it. And this is just part of what he said. But it's because someone influenced his life, and I'm guessing I was a blessing for him. But we have to look around us and thank people. And you know who he thanks the most? Strange people. People far away from us. But have you thanked the people that live within our house, that have supporting us throughout this time? You're killing them, but they're still there. And that we will be thankful and praise God for those people that's close to us. Mom, dad, my husband, my wife, my children. Yes, my children too. Okay? Even though they're not the greatest. Yesterday I had the opportunity to visit someone and I saw his son washing dishes. And this guy was washing dishes with so joy, I guess. Maybe 12 years old. This little boy washing dishes. And I said, wow. I don't wash dishes with so much joy. Actually, I don't wash dishes. I should do it more. But he was washing. And I said, man, if I had a boy like that, that would be great. But that's just one part of his life. I don't know all the rest of the day. Maybe I can change my mind probably if I see the whole thing. But you know, appreciate. And then when he finished, and he said, may I be excused, because he was going to his room. Really polite guy. And I told him, hey, come. Thank you for what you just did. Wash the dish for mom and dad. And he said, it's okay. And he walked away. We have to be thankful for people around us that God has used in some sense, and maybe a little thing that influenced our lives. We have to learn not to dwell on things that is positive. We have to put things, those things that we learn, into practice. Number three, we have to learn to practice contentment in all circumstances. Look with me, verse 10 and then verse 11. It says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renew your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had not had opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be what? Content wherever my circumstances are. Have you learned to be content wherever your circumstances are? You know what content means? Satisfy, it's okay. It doesn't mean that I don't want more. Yes, I want more. But I'm okay where I am today, right now. And it is okay. A lot of people are so concerned with more, and they miss right here, right now. And I'm not saying to be lazy. I'm not talking about being lazy or don't want to excel in life. No. But if you miss here and now, you won't enjoy tomorrow, because you miss the process that God wants you to go through. And Paul is saying that whatever the circumstances is, it's okay for me. Because God is in control today and he is in control tomorrow. Paul was saying that as a missionary, as a servant of the Lord, he had a lot of needs. But you know, I know your heart. I know that you wish you were more involved in what I'm doing, and I know you wanted to be there, but you weren't able to, and that's why it's okay. But it says also that he is not saying this, he's not telling them the circumstances for them to be concerned, because he learned to be okay whatever the circumstances is. God, I do not have everything I want. But right here, right now, I'm okay. Because maybe tomorrow, things may change. But I have to enjoy the ride, the process. Have you ever prepared a surprise for your kids? To go to a special park or a vacation or do something with them? And you've been preparing this for months, and every time, every day that passes, you have a calendar that you scratch one day less, one day closer, and so forth. You continue doing the process with them. And every day, the kids wake up early in the morning and come, hey, one more day closer. And they go, you know, the process is a lot more enriched than the event itself, because probably you prepare for 3 months and the event is 2 hours or a day, but you enjoy the process of it. But if we want to move forward, just jump to the event, it happened and then it's gone. I remember preparing for the wedding. Doing all those things, preparing, doing this and that, preparing for our wedding. And when the wedding came, you were so tired. You did not enjoy that day. But praise the Lord that I enjoyed the days before. And after now 25 years enjoying it too. You remember your first baby? Cooking, kicking, and moving, and shifting. I remember walking in the house from work and say, hello, I'm here. And my wife would say, don't do that. The baby jumped. And I come and put my hand on her belly and the baby moving. That's awesome. Until the baby was born. Reality sink in. Enjoy the process. And that's why Paul would say, be content, whatever the circumstances are, right here, right now. I went to eat breakfast this morning at McDonald's. And most people, McDonald's is not their final job. It's a process. Most people, teenagers, work sometime in McDonald's. Anyone here work in McDonald's ever? No one? Oh, my daughter worked there for a while. It's not your dream job, but it's a job. It brings money in. Not a lot, but something. It's better than stealing, right? So a lot of people see that as a process, and it's okay, but while you're there, treat it as the only job you have. My daughter worked now at AT&T, and there was a guy working with her, and this guy says, I'm going to leave. He told her. And so she said, since he said that, his attitude at work changed. I don't care for this job anymore. He will walk in late. He worked like that for a whole month before he moved out last week. He did not enjoy the process. Can you imagine he did that? And then the other job would say, you know, we don't need you anymore. Where is going? And that's why I tell people always, do not burn your bridges. You may have to go back. Relationship that you're in, deal with them all the way through. You started dating someone and it didn't work out. Finish it well. Don't text them, I hate you, I don't want to see you anymore. Especially if you went to see mom and dad, go back and see mom and dad and say, you know, I really wanted this to work. It didn't work out, but thank you for the opportunity that I had with your son or your daughter, whatever. Finish well. My daughter had a boyfriend, and he is a diehard Dallas Cowboys, the champion of this next season coming up. That's my team too. Sorry, Saints. But so they finish. They didn't continue the relationship. It didn't work out. And this guy, every Sunday when Dallas is playing, every play he would send me, hey, great play. And I would say, awesome play. And we would go on like that throughout the game. When he stopped the relationship with my daughter, Sunday, Dallas is playing, great game. And no text. The second week, again, nothing. I said, what's going on here? I call him. Yes, sir. I said, hey, we had a great game last week. I didn't get any text from you. Oh, I was busy. I'm sorry, sir. Next week, no game, nothing, no response again. And so I had to take a trip where my daughter goes to school. So I went there, and I know he was on campus. So I called him and said, hey, can we see each other at the Starbucks? So he came all shaking. I said, relax. I don't hate you yet. But if you stop texting me, I will hate you. I told him, hey, the relationship with my daughter didn't work out, but doesn't mean that our relationship can go on. Hello? You didn't do anything wrong to me. Or have you done something wrong to my daughter? Because then we have business to fix. No, sir, no, sir. But I didn't know how to handle that. I said, hey, life goes on. Do not build, burn your bridges because you never know. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Life is short, and for that reason, we have to learn to interact with everybody in the process of our lives. Do not look at people, or don't look down at people because of where they're standing at this moment. Have you lived with close to nothing sometime? Hello? Yeah? We had just enough to get by, pay the bills, or struggle sometimes. One thing I noticed here in New Orleans is that a lot of people on the street living under the bridges in tough time. And if you look down to people like that, tomorrow they may be your roommates, and you don't know. Treat people correct. Learn whatever is your situation. Paul was saying, I know to have plenty and I learn to be okay. I had nothing, but it's okay also. You know, there's circles of influence. People depend their level of income, the level of people they interact with. And if your standard of grade, I have a friend of mine, a really rich guy. I was in his office last week. He is a really nice guy. Not because what he has, it's because he knows Christ. And I would sit and talk to him, and he would tell me his struggles. We pray with each other. But he is not treating anyone different just because what he has. And he has a lot of money. And he would tell me, Randolph, I was in a group of at the church, and I was a part of the leadership of the church. And when we have meetings and people make opinions and things like that, and I will say, people will say, okay, which color should we paint the church? And someone will say green, blue, and he will say, I think the color is okay the way it is. And everybody will say, oh, yeah, okay, yes, okay. We don't need to paint, it's okay. Or if they're going to buy a van for the church and someone will say, I want a Toyota, I want a Ford, a Chevy, and he will say, what do you guys think about a Kia van? Oh, exactly, that's what we're going to do. Everybody going to his direction just because they know that he has money. And he said, I hated this so much that after a while I won't say anything in the meetings because everybody just agree with me just for where I am financially. That's not correct. We have to learn and put value to what people are, not for what they have. In your house, it could be your children that give a great opinion. Can we listen to them? Hello? Yes. Can we agree with our 3-year-old or 4-year-old in his opinion on something that we will do as family? It's okay. Not all the time, so they won't think they're the boss. But sometimes they will say something and we agree with it and we move forward with that. That's why he says here, I know. I have had learned the secret to be content in any circumstance, wherever, if I'm well fed or I'm hungry, or living with plenty on one, I can do all things to Christ who strengthened me. The real secret of contentment is not how much you have. It's how much you enjoy what you have. Because, you know, if we talk about money, a lot of people have a lot of money and they don't have peace. They're so concerned to try to protect what they have, they can't enjoy what they have. And you and I, we don't have a lot. And we don't care so much either. There's some people that says, people that have a lot of money, they're prideful, how you say that? And people that don't have a lot, they're humble. That's not true. Because if you're pride or not, it doesn't depend how much you have, is your attitude that make a difference. And that's why it says here that Paul shared with us that I can do all things through Christ to give me strength. I can go through grief, through pain, through hurt. I can go through tough circumstances. And even when things are out of my control, I do not know what to do. I can rest in God that do know everything. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future, which is God. And I can rest. That what brings contentment into people. That's how people can live a life and know that it's okay, whatever the circumstances are. So, Do you need more money? You can still answer. And now the question is, do I really need one more? Can I handle more? And that's the reality of life that helps us to understand what you have doesn't define you. Your attitude toward what you have will make a difference. Do we all want more money? Yes. I have $600,000 out there just for everybody that wanted it. You can do a lot of things with that. But will that change you? Or God and His Word will be the ones that change us because we understand the reality of life. My desire for you and the challenge that we have in front of us is this. Enjoy what you have. Enjoy every minute of it. You have your children, enjoy it. Enjoy them. Pretty soon they're gone. And then you complain, they don't come see me. But when they were there, you didn't enjoy them. Spend time with them. I'm working for my family. I'm working hard for my family. You leave early in the morning, the kids are asleep. You come back at night, they're still asleep. You never seen them throughout the whole week. Oh, but I make $1,000 in a week. Great. But who are you enjoying it with? Because Saturday and Sunday you're so tired, you're sleeping all weekend. Enjoy what you have. Spend time with your spouse. Yesterday we talked to couples about the importance of investing in their marriage. Invest. Because you don't know what the future holds. But right here, right now, is what God has given you. Enjoy it to the max.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.